What kind of inspired this story?
So I guess I was curious about it for myself in my own personal life. So, you know, like I'm a young queer feminist woman. You know, I suppose I didn't feel like marriage was an institution that had very much to offer me. But I was also really curious about it. You know, it's an institution that we're essentially kind of immersed in from, you know, as young as we have language. So it was something that I was really curious to sort of know more about. And yeah, that's kind of what inspired the project in the first place. And my views around marriage definitely changed as I, through production.
So how did they change from when you started to when you went through the process?
Well, I got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. A week after the film was finished. I think that, you know, initially, my sort of reluctance to participate in the institution stemmed from the fact that it's extremely patriarchal and archaic in a lot of ways. But I think as I, you know, went through this process, while my views on marriage itself didn't change, I think my views on the women who participated in it did. And I started to see weddings as being just really one example of an institution that's not set up to benefit women. You know, there are so many of basically every institution is not set up to benefit women. But I was really interested in the ways in which women cleverly navigated this institution and managed to find things for themselves that were really meaningful to them, things like culture, community, love, you know, things that were valuable to them. And it was something that, yeah, it did change my perspective a little.
So speaking of the women, you've got Benet in Turkey, Anna in Australia, I'm going to say this wrong, but I'll try, Lathanu in India, and yes, Dahlia in Mexico. Why did you kind of choose these people and what really differed between each?
Yeah, so I wanted to get a really diverse cross-section of people, and I think I've achieved that. So there's a, you know, four women from obviously four different countries. There's different religions represented there, sexualities, socioeconomic status, you know, attitudes to marriage. They're all really different. I suppose the other thing, though, that I was really conscious of was that I didn't want to cast people in a way that was really tokenistic. So you'll notice that, you know, for instance, the Australian bride is not, you know, she doesn't come from a secular background. She's very religious, which I thought was an interesting angle to look at in this country. You know, the Indian bride comes from like an ethnic minority that is not often represented. You know, the Mexican bride is a lesbian. I was just interested in, you know, looking at characters who potentially didn't fit, you know, the mold of what we would expect from that country, because I think that's more accurate. You know, I don't know that I would see myself as being representative of the quote-unquote Australian woman. And I think that that's probably the case for most people.
And you said that you, you know, had some particular ideas about marriage as an institution that you really struggled with. Did you kind of have trouble then directing this, like with some people having like very different views to you? Like, how did you kind of settle that within yourself, I guess?
I mean, I'm interested in speaking to people that have different views to me, and I'm interested in presenting those views to an audience in a way that is not particularly judgmental and is quite observational. I think it's really important that we're able to understand, you know, the differing views that exist within women, within feminism. I think that I don't subscribe to the idea that feminism can be, you know, all one thing for all people. That often tends to be quite a kind of a white idea, an idea that doesn't really allow for diversity of different people's contexts. So I guess I saw the women that I was, you know, that I was profiling as all being, you know, quite intelligent and all being able to tell their own stories. And I just wanted to present those in a way so that the audience could make their own assessments.
And the film's called I Am No Bird. Why that title?
So that title is a reference to Jane Eyre. I have to admit, when I named the film I Am No Bird, I probably wasn't expecting quite so many questions about Jane Eyre, and I wish I was more of a literate person than I am. But yeah, it is a reference to Jane Eyre, which in some regards is seen as being a feminist novel, but it's a very flawed version of feminism. You know, it's a version of feminism that kind of has to reckon with the limitations of an institution like marriage. And that was sort of what I wanted to show, because I think that, you know, the majority of us are flawed feminists. And I'm interested in kind of, you know, exploring the choices that people have to make.
Now, the film's out today. Give us some deets. How can we go see it? What's the deal?
So in Sydney, it's very simple for you to go and see it. So it's playing at the Dendy Newtown. So if you just head over to the Dendy's website, there's tons of screenings this weekend. So, yeah, I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there'll be screenings at the Dendy in Newtown. The last time we played at the Dendy was with the Sydney Film Festival, and it sold out. So if you missed out, you can grab a ticket at the Dendy website.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to congratulate you. Yeah, congratulations on such a successful run at Sydney Film Festival. And congratulations on the film. Em, thanks so much for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you.